Welcome to the Business Vitality Podcast. My name is Catherine Canty. I am the host and an executive coach. I work with teams, individuals, and leaders to help create measured leadership change. We do that using practical application, and our clients are creating 100% measured results as seen by those around them. Not necessarily what I think or what they think, but what the other people are seeing. And they are being recognized for the hard work that they're doing. If you're interested in learning more about some of the work that we're doing, you can learn more at CatherineCanty.com. I would love for you to subscribe to this show, to Business Vitality. This is my way to continue to pay it forward and share business best practices. Stay tuned and listen to the interview. Thanks for being here. Matthew Rolnick, you are the Vice President of Strategy and Innovation at Yaymaker, found on the web at yaymaker.com. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks, Katie. Very excited to be talking to you today.
I appreciate it. All right, tell me about Yaymaker. I'd love to hear more about it.
So Yaymaker, we are a company that does corporate team building events. We do them in person. We do them virtually. We do them hybrid. We're best known, for paint nights. We're the original paint night. We actually started at a restaurant or bar in Boston, taught people how to paint. They drank, ate, had a good time. We grew that to over 300,000 events. You know, at one point we were doing 60 million annual in revenues. And so we are known as Paint Night and Yaymaker.com. But Yaymaker is more the B2B side of the business that does, again, corporate team building events. And we're most known for our creative experiences. So besides paint nights, we do plant nights, ukulele making, trivia, mixology, murder mysteries. But what we love to do is bring fun, bring yay, and kind of help people feel more connected in the workplace.
So where did you see this need coming from? Obviously, it must hit home with you.
Well, I'm very passionate about it. A friend of mine who I went to college with, we went to Madison together. He's a really resourceful entrepreneur. He started Paint Night over 10 years ago. Now, I joined right when the pandemic hit, right when the revenues went to zero, because everything was in person. And I really focused on the Yaymaker on our corporate side of the business. So it resonated with me just because I'm a person who loves corporate culture and team building. And so, you know, basically we really had to be very resourceful to do some of these events, sending paint night kits to people that work remotely. And then now it's been exciting to get back in person, but it's been a lot. It's been fun to work with different sized businesses, different organizations. And you know, anytime you're selling yay or fun, that's always a great service or product to be part of.
So how did it shift during COVID? If you're going in person and then did it just get to be very intensive where you were, in the sense that it was a lot more mailings and shippings, or what? What was that like? Because we all had to pivot. So I'm curious, right, what was your pivot like?
So for our pivot, where we did a lot of in-person events for the public, which we were best known for, paint night, people, girls night out type of events, or group of friends or date nights doing paint nights, we had a lot more companies basically coming to us to say, we can't do the same team building events we used to in person. And what a lot of the request was, can we do paint nights where people are doing it from home? So what we started doing was shipping canvases and paint supplies directly to people's home. And then over Zoom, or we'd have one of our best hosts. We work with hundreds of hosts or artists that would do the instruction and have people have fun, and they'd paint online. So that's what we did. And then we did that with our other experiences, as I mentioned, the plant nights or mixology or paint or ukulele making, but we would send the kits. So that's been a lot of fun, and we still get demand for that. There's still a lot of companies that are remote or hybrid, so we do that. But that's what we kind of had to do, and it kind of expanded some of our offerings. We started doing more game show type concepts or murder mysteries or a lot of trivias online. But we kept trying to think about how can companies feel more connected, and what's the right talent that can come across virtually so that's what we really focused on.
Okay. I don't think a lot of people know this about me, but I'll throw parties in our small town. Okay. And there'll be murder mystery parties. We've done probably three or four of those. They're so fun. I would drive around town and give everyone their individual invitation so they knew what character to dress up in and what murder weapon or whatever they needed to bring. And it was fantastic. And then the game show nights, those are so fun. We did Steve Harvey and the two families, you know.
Family Feud?
Family Feud. So we did that one time. It was a hit. We tailored all the questions to what we knew the local people would know.
Yeah.
They're just fun to be able to do that and break it up. So, yeah, that I think that's fantastic. Tell me a little bit about your customer base. Who are the folks that are coming to you with these needs?
Well, I'll share with you too. I mean, I love when you talk about the Family Feud or the murder mystery, because it is a way for people to share more of their personalities, think differently, problem solve together. You know, people are so used to working together, but when you play together and you problem solve like through a murder mystery, you know, you're getting to know people better and you're feeling that stronger connection. So we have found, and all research and data shown, that if employees feel more connected, they're going to be more productive. And but to answer your question, for companies reaching out to us, we're getting a lot of the big tech companies, the Googles, the Metas, the LinkedIns. Mm-hmm. They've been Salesforce. They've been working with us. We get a lot of universities and colleges with a lot of student programs want to work with us. But whether it's law offices or nonprofits or insurance companies, churches, all these different organizations, it seems like the idea of a paint night or a team building or creative experience, they crave it. So we've been working with a whole host of different organizations, mostly in the U.S. and Canada.
I love it. And you've got some of your pictures in the background there?
Mm-hmm.
For your paint?
Yep. So the paint night. So usually, yeah. So, but yeah, so they go usually the most go an hour and a half to 2 hours is kind of a session or things like that. But, and we love going right to offices too. So we do them in cafeterias, boardrooms. And so, but that's what we love doing.
Awesome. All right. So before we hit record, you had mentioned visibility on LinkedIn, visibility just in the world outside of work. And as somebody who was in corporate for 20 plus years, loved my experience. And I was behind the brand, behind the logo, behind, you know, the action that was taking place. It's a big shift to stick your neck out and put your name out there and go out on your own. And you talked about the visibility, and they're really, I think in my world, there was, you know, when you're in corporate, you honor corporate. And then when you're out on your own, you can speak freely and post and do that kind of stuff. So I think you have a different opinion, and I would love to be able to hear that.
I do. So I've worked with different companies, large corporations in the past, where I felt a little cautious what to post, mm-hmm. because professionally I'm representing the brand. I encourage CEOs and companies to encourage their employees to have a lot more flexibility to post and encourage them. Obviously, stay away from hot topics, politics, religion, anything controversial, things like that, or be careful not to share any very sensitive information about your company. So there's some bumpers, I think, that are important. But besides that, I think when employees or leaders share what they're learning in the industry, shouting out their clients or what they enjoy, sharing some thought leadership, I just believe there's multiple benefits out there. And I feel like companies should encourage it, because one is people love to express themselves, or a lot do, some don't. But it's free marketing for these companies too, and it's getting their word out and keeping them top of mind. And then for individuals, I'm a real believer in, if you share something on social media and it's something, again, that you have some type of expertise, interest, curiosity, sharing it out there, you're going to start attracting other people that are like-minded that might want to help you. I've gotten a lot of referrals. I've grown a lot of business from posting things on LinkedIn. I mean, even though I love talking about the experiences Yaymaker offers, really, I talk about corporate culture and team building, and I like trying to connect with CEOs, head of HR, any type of leaders and things like that. And I find the more they're engaging in my content, it kind of organically opens up new opportunities. And I've probably helped Yaymaker generate 60 plus new corporate clients just from my LinkedIn presence. So that's why, and it's been overwhelmingly positive what I post. and the feedback. And again, I look at it as kind of free marketing and way of making yourself more professionally visible. So I see multiple benefits. I try to encourage people to get a little out of their shell and take a baby step in that direction if they haven't.
So you said stay away from politics and the hot topics, which I agree totally. And then you also said thought leadership, being able to post that. So if somebody is in corporate and they're like, well, Matthew, I might try it. Like, how do they get started? I'm a big, big proponent of just momentum and just putting your foot out there and just step after step after step. And then eventually you look back and you walked a mile, but the mile doesn't happen until you take the first step. So for somebody who's listening, what would be a good first step? What do they want to even post?
Sure. So I agree with you. I kind of like your walking analogy. I kind of look at it as working out. The more you work out in the first few workouts, you might not see anything. But after 6 months, if you do it consistently 2-3 times a week, you're going to get results. I believe the same thing's true with social media. But if somebody's like a little nervous, I'd say first steps are, one is the easiest step is anything you see online that you like, that resonates with you. Just liking it is a step in the right direction, especially professional. And I always talk LinkedIn because there's over 1 billion professionals on it. And if there's companies you want to get more connected to or build relationships with, just liking content, people want that validation or want to know if people are seeing it. That's the easiest step. Adding a comment that's more than just nice job. Thanks for sharing. Something that can help extend the conversation or even a follow-up question with it. Like, you know, so whatever it is, you know, if there's an executive coach sharing, here's some ideas on how to stay more motivated, to share, hey, I liked your insights about this. And are there any books or blogs you recommend? Or something like that. Then you're giving that original poster or some ways to keep that conversation going. So I would say that's a next step. If you're not ready to post yet, you can always reshare a post if you see something you liked and add a little context. I thought this was insightful because of this. But really, I encourage people to have their own original post and idea. So whatever industry someone in, whether it's law, whether it's software, whether it's landscaping, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, share some interesting insight that you find interesting and why it is. And that can be it. I mean, now there's AI tools that can help you craft a little more. You can also look at what other people's content that you like or find interesting and read and think about a version of that. So so those would be some things that I'd recommend as first steps.
I think it's great. Talk about corporate culture a little bit. I know we've kind of briefly touched on it, but I'd like to hear your opinion on what you're seeing for corporate culture and what are the best folks doing right now?
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of definitions of corporate culture, making sure, you know, everybody shares the beliefs and values and in line. Really, I think to oversimplify, the personality of the business, I think kind of embodies the culture in many ways. And I think it does start from the top. So I think the CEO and the head leaders, you know, how they act, how they communicate, that has a influence on everyone. I'm seeing a lot of challenges going on right now because, you know, a lot of employees now like the flexibility of working a little more remotely. And I see a lot more businesses pushing to be in person. And so there's a balance. You know, you see some all in person, some doing all remote, and some doing a blend. And it's still, we're still as a whole professionally kind of navigating that. But I think there's just some basic building blocks that are important with culture, which is one, I think, you know, making sure communication's strong, everybody knowing your vision, what you're doing and why, and that again, coming from the top and being echoed so everybody understands what the company's purpose is, what the vision is, how they're benefiting their customers. I think that's all important. I think recognition is also really important. I think a lot of employees don't feel they get recognized the way they'd like to be. And I think it's really important for companies to recognize, for leaders to recognize. You think about, again, whether it's a CEO or a leader, if you recognize two people a week whether it's through an email, whether it's a phone call, whether you stop by their desk and say nice, or whether you shout them out in the whole company. You do two a week over 50 weeks. That's 100 shout outs. And for some people that can really be meaningful, and that one piece of recognition from their boss or leader or HR or company can mean a lot. So that's one. And then I would also say, you know, I talk about the combination of work hard, play hard. I think it's important to take breaks and recognize employees' mental health. And how can you really, I think the best companies are the ones where it actions speak louder than words, and the employees feel valued, they feel heard. I think that's really important. And I think caring, I mean, you know, if you can show that you care and it's more than just the bottom line, I think that's really important. And communicating both the good and the bad, I think some of the best leaders in both culture are ones that really are honest about it and saying, hey, we're going through some rough waters. These are some things to expect. I mean, the ones that are the most transparent, I think employees appreciate that. And I think that really helps. So those are some things. There's a book, David Brooks, I just recently read, and it's about, I'm not gonna get the title exactly right, but it's about how you can really see someone or really someone being deeply seen. It's really fascinating to me, and something I'm always working on is there's so many people that even they feel bucketed in one thing. They might be really strong in sales or really strong in operations or really strong with account management. They feel like they're much more than that. And I think some people want to be recognized for much more than that. And I think great leaders make sure their employees and people they work with understand the tangible things they're bringing and the intangible and having those communications. And then the last thing is just, again, performance reviews, recognition, so people kind of know where they stand. And know their expectations. I feel like you got to always calibrate that. But I just feel like good companies with good culture are making sure that their employees kind of know that and have a path for professional growth. I think if employees feel stagnant and they're not growing, they could be looking elsewhere. So I kind of threw the whole kitchen sink on stuff, but those are the things, once you asked, that came top of mind that I see is good corporate culture.
I think those are five fantastic things. And I was looking at the book, David Brooks, I think it's called How to Know a Person. Is that right?
It was David Brooks. This is his more recent book. And it was something about having to be seen or being deeply seen, like how to know somebody and be deeply seen.
Yeah. The Art of Seeing Others Deeply and Being Deeply Seen.
Yes. That's the book that I just finished that I thought was excellent. He wrote another book. It's called Second Mountain, which is really good. But anyway, that's anyone who's listening or things like that, I just thought it was a very thought-provoking book.
I love it. Okay, so you talked about culture, and you gave me five different things. I just want to make sure we capture it. Okay. Five different things where culture starts at the top, and you said being able to communicate consistently, being able to share the vision and why, again, vital for business. Second thing was recognition. Just two people a week, even if you just recognize two people a week of what they're doing. And what I'm seeing in other businesses is the younger generations coming in and they want some sort of validation. They want some sort of recognition. They want some sort of feedback, whether it's good or bad or indifferent. They just want to know, hey, am I on the mark or off the mark? I know everybody's busy, but just give me some course correction more than one time a year. So first one, vision and the why with communication. Second one, recognition. Third one, work hard, play hard, understanding the importance of mental health in the workplace, being able to, you know, stay focused on the numbers, but also show that you care and have that personal connection with them. The fourth thing is honesty, being honest, whether it's good or bad, and having the transparency with the team is, again, extremely vital. And the last one is performance reviews and expectations and making sure that people have a professional growth plan to grow them as the business grows, because I don't think we want to be the same people we were a year ago or 5 years ago. We don't want the business to be that way because everything else around us is changing and we've got to be able to adapt, just like you did with COVID and the business. And it's not going to be a paint night. It's going to be a paint night in a box and we're going to get this out to you. So, you know, we want to be able to have the growth opportunities and to be able to stick with these five things building blocks is, I think, really important. So I think this is a great summary to be able to look at that information. So as you look at culture, you got to have trust.
Yes.
So my question for you right now is, what are your tips on building trust within an organization?
Well, by the way, I liked how you summarized everything I shared into the points of that. So when it comes to building trust, I mean, it depends. I mean, there's the company, there's the leaders, and then employees and colleagues building trust or things like that. But I think from a leadership standpoint, building trust, I think it really has to do with being honest on where the company is, where it's going, and expectations of employees. And so I think that's really it. And again, I think when it's in the tough times, how do the businesses communicate it? I think that's really important too. People don't like to feel blindsided. And I feel like that's where you really lose trust. And I think another thing, trust is, are you practicing what you preach? You know, there's a lot of leaders that are saying, hey, be at meetings on time, but maybe they're not always. Or it's like, you know, or these are the expectations that I have for you. But if you're not doing that, then I think it breaks down some trust. So I feel like ideally you know, people are always looking at what they think is hypocritical and things like that. But as I said, but I would say leading by example is probably the best way of building trust. And I think encouraging a culture that it's okay to make mistakes and people aren't scared. That can be, I mean, and that depends on that message. I've seen lots of different leaders position that very differently, but if people aren't scared, that's a really good thing. And if people can be recognized for taking chances, as long as they're doing it thoughtfully, obviously. But I think those are really important things too. So again, you know, summarizing it again, I would just say it has to do with the communication. It has to do with that the good and the bad. It has to do with practicing what you preach. And what was the whole, what was the last thing I said?
Be okay to make mistakes.
Yeah, be okay. Yeah, encourage people to make mistakes. And I think embracing people for who they are. We all have our unique interests, our own unique personality traits, things like that. I feel like when those are welcomed, and not everybody's got to be a robot within the system, I feel mm-hmm. like when people can express themselves, I feel like that helps build trust too, when people feel they can be themselves.
Yeah, I like that. And the comment that you basically said is, do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah.
We see it everywhere. Oh my gosh. When I leave my office, I live it with my kid. I'm like, no, don't do that. I know I do this, but don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all try to get a little bit better every day, but not every day is perfect. So that is fantastic. I love it. Tell me a little bit about how are you investing in yourself in order to continue to have the energy to show up and to give to others?
Oh, wow. So there's a few things. I mean, I'm trying to read more. I take some courses online. I'm in like a mastermind group of other people that we meet once a month and share what our business challenges is, how we're trying to grow, things like that. Any new technology, like AI, I've taken some courses on AI, or I've joined some LinkedIn Live or Clubhouse rooms, or basically trying to learn from others with that. So I feel like that kind of keeps me a little more energized and a little more in the know on where things are going. So, you know, Wayne Gretzky had a quote on, you know, don't go where the puck is, you know, anticipate where it's going, or I'm paraphrasing it, but I've always tried to see where things are going and learning from others. So that kind of, I think that helps me feel like I'm professional growing and learning. And so I like doing that. And for me also, where I've challenged myself is I've taken more risks with my content and posting more on LinkedIn. I'm doing more interviews where I like interviewing other thought leaders when it comes to culture, employee engagement. So I'm always learning there. And I'm getting a little more adventurous in what I'm trying to post and having a more fun trying to showcase things I'm learning or my own personality.
What's your most adventurous recent post?
Well, the most adventurous, I'd say, was, or exciting for me was, I got an opportunity to, for a client, because our company works with a lot of speakers. But I got to interview Mike Tyson in person. And one of the questions that I got that I actually posted, I got a little like 90 second clip of it, but I asked him how he elevates and trains others to motivate them. Cause he recently trained someone who's an MMA fighter to box against the heavyweight boxing champion. It looked like it was a match, but this toe to toe with them, and Mike Tyson was this guy's trainer. And it really showcased Mike Tyson, not as just a boxer, but as a trainer, and how well he must have. And I asked him a question on that, and he shared the most important thing in his mind was motivating and inspiring people and having this, I don't want to lose mentality. And it was, but he was very inspirational about it. And I took that little clip and what he said and turned it into a quote, because there was some interesting business lessons with it. So that was something that was a little bit adventurous. I'll try to write articles. I'll do more videos. I like to do polls on LinkedIn if I'm interested to know, like, what's the ideal amount of time you'd like to work in an office or at your house, and is it 5 days a week, 3 days a week, 1 day a week, whatever, I'll do polls with this, and I get some instant feedback that's really helpful. So those are some of the things that I've been doing. But sometimes, occasionally, I've done just a video of myself on a topic, and I'll talk about that. So I even talk about optimism. Like, I'm a really optimistic guy. But I have found sometimes my energy or optimism can sometimes not always land very well, especially in a climate where things can be challenging or somebody's a little down or maybe not. I talked about kind of a more of a pragmatic optimism. I once did a video and talked about that and got feedback. And sometimes I've trying to make myself a little more vulnerable on the things that I need improvement on and share that and try to get feedback. So there's a balance, you know, you want to come off strong, you want to be a thought leader, but how do you also connect with people? And you don't want to just be too critical of yourself, but I'm starting to, you know, be more open with some of the areas where I could improve.
You said that twice, areas to improve. And now I'm just curious, what is one area that you want to get better at?
Well, you know, I'm someone who considers myself entrepreneurial. I love business development, partnerships, talking with people like you, Katie. I love this. I mean, I'm an extrovert. So I get really excited. My CEO, Dan Herman, calls me a catalyst. He's like, Matt, you just start. You love to get that spark, make things happen. I'm not as strong at operations. And for me to be successful, I need people that are aligned with me, that are rooting for me, that are helping me, and I'm not butting heads with operations. So I'm always trying to get better at operations. There's a woman who I work with. She's our director of private events. Her name's Min Brown. Well, she's really leading the charge with our private events and our corporate events. But she's also really good at the operations. And, you know, being able to collaborate with somebody who sees my strengths and have a CEO that basically is encouraging, it really helps me. But I know I'm somebody who can bring in opportunities, but make a little bit of a mess. And I like saying yes, whatever the opportunity is, we'll figure it out. But I always have to be very careful. So I've learned to be more systematic in my approach and on areas of execution. That's just something I have to work a little harder, I'd say, than your average some professional in that standpoint.
Well, I know your operational support people are probably clapping to hear that you're trying to rein it in, and you are acknowledging it, and that you do want to continue to, you know, support them in that way. I've been on both sides of the fence, from sales to operations, and I couldn't sell anything without those folks in the operations center. We'd have many a talk. They were like, really? You're going to do that? Like, well, they're going to pay us. So they wanted to shoot me half the time. But then, you know, you sell half a dozen of them and they're like, this is actually a pretty good deal. We like this product. So I'm like, okay. So we listen to the client need, and there's an opportunity out there. And now you guys are just booking more and more. But yeah, that first time, you just got to make sure you got friends back there.
Yeah.
Otherwise they can hurt you or slow you down a little bit.
I mean, and that's important. Yeah. Well, that's so important professionally. getting along with your colleagues and being aligned and understanding what's important to them, how they communicate. And that's always a work in progress for me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it's a work in progress for everybody. Communication. I feel like that's been a theme throughout this conversation, whether it's visibility with others outside the organization, communication is going to be important. Building communication with team building, with paint night or mixologies or plant night, whatever it may be, that's mm-hmm. communication. Culture and the building blocks that you started it with, communication and the vision and why. And then you talked about LinkedIn content. That again is communication. Like, communication is so important. And as there's more and more technology, I think there's more and more opportunity for us to refine our communication effectiveness with others, because we're not going to have that much face-to-face time with them like we used to. And we're just trying to figure out better ways to connect with people in a very loud, noisy, distracted mm-hmm. world.
Yes.
So, yeah.
100% agree, Katie.
do you have any tips on communication? Just like two or three, just really knock it out of the park tips when it comes to effective communication?
Well, I don't know if they're necessarily knock out of the park or things like that. I would say one is know your audience, obviously. So you study who you're talking to. So whether I'm presenting to a large group or I'm talking to someone one-on-one, that really helps if you know your audience. And knowing what they value is really important too. So I speak very differently as I would to a client, to a CEO, to our head of operations, whoever I'm talking to, I'm always trying to look at it through their lens. And so I feel like I think if you take a step back, I mean, you always hear as effective communication, listen twice as much as you talk. That's a hard one for me, but I think again, listening is important and deep listening, following up. When somebody asks you something, doing a follow-up can be very powerful. God, I listened to this Chris Voss, or I read his book, mm-hmm. Never Split the Difference. And mm-hmm. he was fascinating. And some of the things, how he gets people to share more, even by just by paraphrasing, repeating things, or even just the last few words of somebody's, what they shared, and kind of asking as a question, is really powerful to say, like, hey, you know, my company did this initiative with Starbucks, and you're saying, oh, that's the way, with Starbucks. And then they'll add a lot more context. So again, I would say, again, know your audience or who you're talking to, find out what's important to them and their communication style, and then dig deeper and asking more questions. A lot of times you get more context, because a lot of people just feel like they got everything, they're good. But sometimes asking that extra question or two, some new discovery comes, and there's a bigger opportunity or a better way to connect after that.
The Chris Voss book is excellent. Never Split the Difference. I love
yes.
that book.
Yes.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And by the way, I mean, I liked how you summarized some of the things I said. I liked our conversation, anyone who's listening to this, that Chris Voss book, Never Split the Difference. I mean, that really made me rethink of how I'm communicating with people. And, you know, even the tone, he said, if somebody's heated, if you talk in a slow, deep radio voice, that's a way to calm somebody. I mean, there was a lot of interesting things he shared.
Yeah. He used to be a hostage negotiator and then pivoted into all this education. He's a great, great book. And speaking of books, you have a book.
Oh, yeah.
Find Your Yay. Do you mind talking about it?
Sure. So Find Your Yay. So I was thoughtful and even the title with this, because I work for Yay Maker, and I wanted to, you know, build my brand and build the company. Mm-hmm. And as I talked about LinkedIn, I realized I was very good at social selling. And I realized that the more I was bringing content, the more it would help bring in business. And I realized, you know, if people can know their voice, share their voice, build relationships, there's a lot of ways to do it, you know, through virtually. I mean, even you and I here, I mean, I feel like we've gotten, you know, are having a real conversation, a real connection. And, you know, I'm excited with the different things you're doing, and you don't know what synergies there may be. But I'm always looking at partnerships, and I talk about that in the book, and it really has to do, again, with sharing your voice and connecting with others. That's really the gist of it. And I basically had this published about almost 2 years ago, and it's been wonderful. Not just with sales of the book or things like that. I'm not retiring from this by any means, but it's opened up new opportunities for me. So it's gotten me to more speaking opportunities, a couple consulting opportunities, and even like being on podcasts or things like that. But others that have wanted to connect with me, and I feel like it's opened up new doors, and as I said, it's helped grow new clients. So and I was able to share in the book my journey through Yaymaker. So with it too. So there was even a little marketing for Yaymaker with it as well. So, but being able to do a book signing and speak on it or read the book and get questions or things like that. I've really enjoyed it. I'm thinking down the road of would I do another book on like being a super connector, which is another passion of mine, but I don't know. It was a great experience. And, it's a message that I'm very passionate about.
Love it. Thank you. Okay. So Matt, if somebody wants to reach out to you, they're loving what they're hearing, they're curious, what is the best way to get in touch with you?
So I love connecting with people. I love connecting with, again, CEOs, entrepreneurs, leaders, job seekers, you name it, or in any company or group that's looking for any team building events. But LinkedIn is really easy. Matthew Rolnick. You type Matt Rolnick or Matthew Rolnick, you'll be able to find me. And then, or my email is my first initial last name. So mrolnick@yaymaker.com. People can reach out to me there.
Fantastic. Matthew Rolnick, you are the Vice President of Strategy and Innovation of Yaymaker, found on the web at yaymaker.com. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Katie.
Thanks for listening to the episode. If you like it, please subscribe, share this episode or this show with other people around you. The greatest form of a compliment is a referral. I really appreciate them. And if you think that you want to learn more about some of the work we're doing, I encourage you to reach out to katherinecanty.com. You can schedule a call or just continue to read articles and information that we post out there. Thank you so much for being here.